Man, I was screaming so hard, my voice. I was afraid my voice wasn't gonna be okay for this morning, but evidently it's pretty good, so it's not too bad. So I apologize if you hear a little squeaking now and again. It's because I was yelling last night. But this morning, guys, we're gonna be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 13. If you guys wanna turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 13, and I'll open us up with a word of prayer while you guys do that. And Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for letting us come here this morning, Father God, for bringing us all here this morning, Lord. And I just pray that you speak to us, Father God, that you pierce us with your double-edged sword, Father God, that you open our hearts, you open our minds, Father God, and you help us to learn something new this morning, Father God, that you touch our hearts, Lord. You help us to focus solely on you, not to the person next to us, Father God, or not what we're doing today, Father God, or what we're going to get ready to do after church, Father God. But we focus on you and we give you this moment, Father God, because you are here with us, Father God. And help us to give you our soul attention, Lord Jesus, to your word. And speak to us this morning, Father God. And we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. This morning, guys, I titled our message, A Pit of Despair, and I'm going to talk to you guys about just that, pits of despair, guys, hard times that we go through. Have you guys ever been through any dark times, any hard times? Yeah, you have, definitely. Maybe you guys have gone through it already, or maybe you guys are going through times like that now. I don't mean just like little things. I mean really big things. If you guys can think about one thing right now, I want you guys to think of one thing, one hard time maybe you're going through right now or previously have gone through. Think of one hard thing, whether it's your parents have gotten divorced or you have a family member die. Really tough time. And I want you guys to think about that. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Those hardships, what Christ's word says about those hardships, guys, and how we can glorify God through those things and look past those hard times. And I have a few I could share with you guys, but I'm only gonna share a couple with you guys about those, another one a little bit later. But let's read our text, guys, and we'll start from there and we'll come back to it and read the whole thing. Starting in verse 3, it says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops." Skip down to verse 10. "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." So our first point this morning is we have three points this morning. Our first point is being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, a good soldier of Christ. And I hope you guys are all taking notes. But write that down. Our first point is being a good soldier of Christ. And read verse 3 with me again, guys. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So if you guys think about a soldier, what he has to do to prepare for battle, whether if it was back in Bible times or now, the war in Iraq. What does a soldier have to do to prepare for battle? What does he have to wear? Well, he has to wear armor, correct? He has to prepare himself for battle. And AJ talked about this a few weeks ago, guys, about being caught without your armor. And I encourage you guys, if you guys missed that, to go look that up. But if you guys think about a soldier, he has to wear his armor to go into battle. What happens if he doesn't wear his armor? What happens if he just goes out there and he's not wearing his armor? If he's not prepared for battle, he's going to die, right? He's going to get shot. But if you guys can picture, I don't know, modern day of war right now, if I was to, called to the war in Iraq, and I'm getting off in that helicopter, and all the soldiers are running out, they have their headgear, they have their bulletproof vests on, right? And they have their, you know, their boots and everything protecting themselves, and they have their weapon, correct? Well, they jump out of the helicopter, everyone's running out, and then I jump out, and I have nothing on. I'm wearing what I'm wearing right now. If you guys can picture that. And I'm running out, and I'm looking around, like all these soldiers are running out with this headgear. I'm, where's my stuff? You know, like I'm not wearing anything. I don't even have a weapon. I'm running out with these guys, and they're shooting at us, and we're shooting at each other, and I don't even have a weapon. I'm going to get shot. And I'm going to die. Right? If I don't have the proper gear, if I don't have the proper armor to protect myself or the proper weapon to protect myself with against the enemy, how am I going to survive? I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. Or I'm going to be severely hurt and then probably severely and probably killed. But that's what the same thing with us, guys. We can't just expect to be in this world without some kind of protection. Right? We need some kind of weapon to help us fight. We need some kind of armor. We need some kind of protection to get us through these tough times. Something to rely on. And you're thinking, well, what kind of armor are you talking about, Richard? What do you mean? Like I said, AJ talked about specifically about that armor, and we're not going to go specifically in it, guys. We're just going to touch the surface, a few things to equip ourselves with and go specifically on one of them. But if you guys remember in Ephesians 6:11, it says to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Did you guys get that? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is awesome, guys. Because when we see when we're going through tough times, we can be ready for what we're going through. We can put on the whole armor of God. And I encourage you guys to look up that whole entire verse. Read the whole entire thing of what it says. And we'll touch on a few here, guys. It says to put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. All these things, guys, that Ephesians 6:11 is telling us to equip us to be ready against the enemy. And a lot of times, I know you guys heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. In Ephesians 6:11, right at the end, how it says to protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil. Well, a lot of the times, guys, the devil's not omnipresent like God. Omnipresent means, you guys know what omnipresent means, right? God being everywhere at once. Everywhere at the same time, that if God's right now, he's in Asia, and then he's in Europe, and he's in Greece, and he's right here with us, and wherever else he is, he's everywhere at the same time. The devil's not like that. The devil is out there causing wars in Iraq. He's causing problems in the presidency. Well, then you're like, how do we protect ourselves against the devil? Well, remember, he has his demons everywhere, constantly, everywhere, lurking around, and that's what's attacking us individually, because the devil's not going to waste his time just on Jaden, on focusing just on him. He's not going to focus on that, but he has his demons attacking him, and those are the tough times we're going through. We're getting attacked, guys. So when it says to protect ourselves from the whole armor of God, one key one at the end, guys, oh, they're all awesome, they're all key, but the one that I love is the sword of the Spirit. Oh, what's the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word, the Gospel. The Bible says it is God breathed. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the sword of the Spirit, guys, if you guys are constantly reading this, if you guys are in it every day and you're equipping yourself with this sword, you're going to have a great thing there. You're going to be equipped. You're going to have your weapon ready along with all the other things. Like I said, look those up. See what each one of them means. And I love this, guys, because this is what's going to get you through those tough times. This is what's going to get you through those difficult, hard times that you think you can't get out of it. God's word will help you and give you strength and courage through those tough times, guys. It says in Psalm 9:9, the Lord is the shelter for the oppressed, and a refuge in times of trouble. So you guys see, if you prepare yourself, if you always stand guard, then you'll be ready for when you go through trials, guys. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard. That's why God tells us to be ready and equip us. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. It's hard to be a Christian. And we go through these trials sometimes to test our faith and to test our reliance more on God. So like it says, guys, the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed. Read with me in verses 4 through 6. It says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." In verse 6, "The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops." So we're seeing three different things here, guys. And all of them have a few things in common, but all of them have a certain thing in common. We see a soldier first, right? We see a soldier first, and then in verse 5, we see an athlete. And in verse 6, we see a farmer. And you guys can write these down. Three little subtopics that we'll go over. Three things that will contrast together, guys. Well, first, they all have discipline, guys. Each one of these, a soldier and an athlete and a farmer, each have to discipline themselves and be willing to sacrifice and achieve the results that they want, correct? Well, what do you mean, Rich? Well, I'll tell you guys. For a soldier, he has to train hard, right? For a soldier, he has to prepare his body. That's why they send soldiers in boot camp. And they're actually have them constantly training. Have you guys ever gone through anything like that? Any boot camp or PE where they pretend to try to make it look like boot camp? You're like, "Oh, this is horrible. I have to do 50 push-ups and then 100 jumping jacks and go run 10 miles. And I'm sure you guys haven't run 10 miles, but that's a long time. But that's what these soldiers have to do. I'm sure they have to run 10 miles. They have to constantly keep their body fit and healthy, right? Because if not, a guy that's not trained and not fit and not ready and he's overweight, he's not going to last out there, you know? So they have to prepare their bodies. They have to train as hard as they can. For an athlete, it's kind of the same thing, right? Now, I was in sport. How many of you guys are in sports in here? Good. Sports are awesome. I love sports. One of my favorite ones is basketball. And I played sports in high school, and a lot of things, we had to work as hard as we could, right? We have to perfect our shots, or if you're in golf, it's perfect your swing. And to do that, you have to also train hard. You have to exercise to train your body. And what else do you have to do as an athlete? What's a key thing that you have to do if you're an athlete? Follow the rules. Oh, you get that perfect. Good job. You have to compete according to the rules. What happens if you break the rules? You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to be thrown out of the game. If I'm playing basketball and I punch somebody because they hit me or something, I'm going to get thrown out of the game. You're going to lose. You had to compete according to the rules. And as far as the farmer, guys, he has to work as hard as he can to achieve his goal. What does a farmer have to do? He has to cultivate his crops. He has to work as hard as he can and till the ground. He has to work extremely hard. Keep working on the ground. Keep working on the ground to produce that good soil. So when he plants the seed, it will produce many crops, right? Healthy crops. He has to cultivate it. All these things fit together. A soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. They all have to work hard, guys. They have to discipline themselves. Well, how do we apply that to our lives, guys? We need to discipline ourselves. We, like soldiers, guys, we have to give up worldly things to endure rigorous training. Like it says here in verse 4, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So as a soldier, guys, us being a soldier, we need to give up these worldly things that need to sacrifice them that this world says is okay to do. We need to give them up and endure rigorous training. In other words, constantly reading our Bibles, constantly praying, constantly staying accountable to each other. You guys need to make sure you guys are doing that. That's the rigorous training you guys need to be going through. And we, like athletes, again, must be able to train hard, and we have to follow the rules, right? Well, train hard, same thing, reading our Bibles, making sure we're paying attention at church and applying it to our lives, constantly studying, and also following the rules. Following what God's word says is correct, right? We have to follow what this says. These are our rules. Not to wear that, you know, we're robots and we're just constantly, I have to follow this. But we have to try as hard as we can to make sure that we're following God's word, guys. Because we're not perfect, obviously. But we have to make sure that we're doing what Christ says. And also, like the farmer, guys, you must work extremely hard and also be patient. It's another key thing with a farmer, right? What is it? A farmer has to be extremely patient when he's working on the ground, right? Because it doesn't take, I don't know, 15 minutes to make a crop. He's like, oh, plant the seed. Yeah. Oh, sweet. Yeah, pull it out and start eating it. No, it takes time. It takes patience. He has to work as hard as he can. Same thing here, guys. You guys aren't going to be perfect overnight. When we're following the rules and we're doing as hard as we can to live the life the life that God wants us to live, we're not going to be perfect until we die, right? That's why we need to constantly keep learning. We're never going to stop learning, guys. We're going to learn as much as we can. We have to learn as much as we can until we attain that perfect body in heaven with Christ and attain perfection in heaven. So we have to work as hard as we can. And we got to be patient, guys. Like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. Be patient. When tough times come towards you, you need to be patient and wait on the Lord and know that He will help you through those things. Be patient. And you know, if you guys pray for patience, right? What happens when you pray for patience? You're going to keep getting situations that are going to force you to be patient, right? I pray for patience all the time. All the time. And you're like, you're crazy, Rich. Why do you pray for patience? Because I need to be patient as I can. And when I pray for patience, sometimes somebody will be talking to me and it'll either be, I don't know, something either offensive or something that is going to get me ticked. And I have to be like right away I want to be like, but then I have to think, oh no, Lord, this is patience, this is a test. So be patient, guys, like the farmer. And what do you also have to do, guys? We have to keep going despite suffering, right? Knowing that in the end we'll receive the prize. Like I told you, we'll receive perfection. And we have to know that we're going to conquer the trials that we go through, guys. And envision winning through the Lord's help, guys. Like I said, like an athlete. What does an athlete look forward to when he's going through his race? Say I'm in track and I'm running through the race. He looks forward to the end, right? He looks forward to winning the prize. Same thing with you guys. Endure through those hardships. Like we said, it says in verse 3, endure those hardships. So you look towards the prize, towards God. This brings me to our next point, guys. Preserve through the valley. I'm sorry, preserve. Persevere. Persevere through the valley. Read with me in verse 10, guys. Persevere through the valley. Verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Therefore endure all things, guys. So we see here, guys, Paul's saying that he endures so that he can be an example to others, so that they may be saved. Right? And I told you guys I'll share a story of what I've gone through. One of the hard times that I've been through, one of the difficult times that I've been through, really hard, was when I was in eighth grade. And a lot of you guys know already, but I had a brother die. And he was only 16 years old. He died to drinking and driving. And you say, wow, Rich, that's pretty tough. Yeah, it was. It was really, really hard. It was one of the first big impacts in my family's life that just tore us down. It was big, very big, and that hurt our family. And I remember going through it just finding out that night when the cops came and knocked on our door and told us, I was crushed. And I remember a few weeks earlier, I was talking to my brother in my room. I remember it very vividly. I was talking to him in my room, and I was scared because I was just getting out of my eighth grade year, or going to be. It was the beginning of February, and I was scared to go to my freshman year in high school. And I was talking to him, and I was like, man, I'm so scared. I heard a lot of stories, and I went to West Mesa. I'm sure you guys heard a lot of stories about West Mesa. But I was scared, and I was like, I heard these things where they give you swirlies in the toilet, you know, and then all the seniors pick on you. You know, I'm scared, man. Like, you know, are they going to do that to me? And he was going to be a senior when I was going to be a freshman. He's like, no, man, they're not going to do that to you because I'll be there with you. Because they'll know you're my brother. I'll protect you. And then finding out my brother died, oh, man, that's all I could think about. Like, he's not there anymore. What am I going to do? It's crushed. And during the funeral, I remember vividly as well, during the funeral, was during the reception, or whatever it's called, after the funeral, I remember sitting underneath this big, tall chair, and I was just curled up underneath, and I would just put my head down, and I just prayed. And I kept praying, and I was like, Lord, why did this happen? Why did he have to go? Why did you take him away? Why is this happening to us? I remember saying. But then I said, Lord, I know that this is, you have a greater purpose. I know it's going to be okay. You're going to give me comfort, and you're going to bring me out of this. May not be tomorrow, may not be the next day, but you're going to bring me out of this. I know you are. And I knew that, guys. I knew that through that valley that I was going through, that I was going to persevere through that valley, guys. So this is what Paul is saying, guys. He's saying to endure through those things so that you can be a good testimony to others, guys. All his friends were there at that funeral, all his non-believers. So I knew if they said, you know, it's going to be okay, whatever, I could be like, well, I know, he's going to be in heaven. He gave his life to Christ three weeks before he died. I know he's in heaven. God confirmed that. I know he's there. Even though he made a bad decision, him being a baby in Christ, he had a lot of obstacles coming at him, and he made a bad decision. He made a bad choice. But I have no doubt, him giving his life to Christ, that he is in heaven. God's giving me comfort with that. He's giving me rest with that. And I know I'm going to see him one day. So when you guys endure through these things, when you endure through these hard times, what does it say in Romans 8:26? It says God works all things for good. He works all things for his good. And he can use our suffering, guys, to save someone else's life. If we have something that we're going through, guys, that we're suffering through, if we go through that, or if we're going through that, while we're going through that, if somebody else is going through that, you can be a testimony to them, right? You can come alongside them, hey, dude, this is what I'm going through. I know how you feel. Or, hey, man, or I already went through that. I know how you feel. Come talk to me. Come let me pray for you. And you can help them. You can encourage them, right, when you go through these things. So that's when we endure through those things, guys, and we look through that, and we look to verses like Romans 8:26, then God works all things for good, for his glory. So persevere through that valley, guys. What does it say in Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, correct? Though I walk through that dark valley, though I walk through those hard times, those difficult, dark times, I will fear no evil. For God is with me. It also says in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Christ says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You're not alone when you're going through these things, guys. I know I'm not alone. You guys should know that you're not alone. Christ is with you every step of the way. And AJ said it before, you guys know those little plaques of the footsteps of Christ, right, carrying you. That's true. It's not biblical, but it is true. What it says isn't biblical, but the idea of Christ carrying you through those hard times is true. He carries us, guys. Remember, guys, the life of Joseph? What happened with Joseph, guys? All through his life, we see a lot of people in the Bible going through these hard times, difficult times. What happened with Joseph? He went through his whole life, right? He had a few dreams, and his brothers get jealous, so they throw him in a pit, and they could have just left him there for dead, but what did they do? They sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelites. So then the Ishmaelites went to Egypt and sold him as a slave to Potiphar, correct? And I'm sure Joseph, being a child, like, Lord, why is this happening? Why are you doing this to me? But he stood by the Lord. He knew that he works all things for good. So he stood by the Lord, and he didn't lose faith. So what did God do? He saw that. So what did he do in Potiphar's house? He made him second to Potiphar, right? He made him in charge of all these things. No one was higher than Joseph. And just when things were going good, he gets hit again with temptation, right? Potiphar's wife sees him and wants to lay with him. And he was tested right there. So what does he do? He flees, right? He gets out of there. He takes off. And he knew, and God knew, he didn't commit adultery, and not even in his mind. God knew, and he knew as well. And he still got punished for it. He got thrown in jail. Because Potiphar's wife went crying to Potiphar saying that he tried to sleep with her. And we know that's false. Like, why? He was like, why did that still happen to him? He's going through these trials, God. He's testing his faith in Christ. And he still didn't lose faith. And after being in jail for many years, staying true to Christ and having faith in Christ, God brought him to a place beyond all of that, beyond all the suffering, right? And he became second to Pharaoh. He blessed him. You guys see his life, how God can take you out of all these hard times and bring you out of all these things and bring you and bless you if you guys stay faithful to God. That's key. Stay faithful to God. And we also see it in the life of Job, right? You guys know everything that happened to Job. Everything was taken away from him. Job lost it all, guys. And in the midst of all of that, all of his sufferings, Job says, this is what Job says, "He shall bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold him. But if not, though he slay me, yet I will trust him." Wow. Even though he sees God took away all these things from him, he said, "Yet I will still trust God." That's what we need to say, guys. And that brings me to our next point, our final point, remaining faithful. Write that down. Remaining faithful. Read with me in verses 11 through 13. This is a faithful saying. "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he shall also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." In this book, guys, we're going through momentum that a discipleship group that we're going through here at Velocity, guys, on Thursday nights, we're going through this book called Spiritual Maturity. And wow, even for me, it says some amazing stuff, some powerful stuff that can really make you grow. I'm growing through this book, guys. And I encourage you guys to get it. It's by Oswald Chambers, Spiritual Maturity. Get it at the bookstore. I work there. When I work there at night, come talk to me. I'll give you a good deal on it. Really, get that book. It is great. You guys need it. It is key to attaining spiritual maturity. But in this book, guys, it talks about all these things, and in chapter 7, it talks about something very interesting, guys. It talks about faith and three different resources of faith that we need to have. And we need to have. I mean, need to have, guys. The first is, and you guys write this down, the first is to have faith in the ability of God. He says to have faith in the ability of God. And are we willing, guys, to step out on faith and trust God to deliver us? Just blatant faith, guys. I have faith in God that he will deliver me. I have faith in the ability of God that he will bring me out of this hard time, okay? Are we willing to step out on that faith? The second resource of faith, guys, is confidence in the willingness of God. Like, oh, wait, what do you mean? The confidence and the willingness of God. Because we can just have faith, just regular faith. I can have faith all I want. Doesn't mean I actually trust God is going to do it, right? We need to know that God and be confident that God is willing to help us and willing to bring us out of that valley, correct? We need to have that faith that he's willing. That's how we should pray confidently, guys. It says in Mark 11:24, Jesus says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. So pray like you know God's going to help you. Pray that you know God's willing to do that for you, guys. And the third resource of faith, which is the most important, and what Oswald Chambers says, which leads to spiritual maturity, the most important one, write this down, is the acceptance of the sovereignty of God. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you guys what that means. Remember when I talked about what Job said? Would you guys remember what Job said? I'll remind you. He said, he shall bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold him. But if not, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Did you guys get that? If you guys didn't catch that, he said, he shall bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold him. Okay? But if not is key right there, guys. Even Job was going through all of these things, and he knew whatever was going to happen, he prayed God was gonna take him out of that thing, and he knew the willingness of God, and he was going to bring him out of that. But he said, but if not, it's still going to be okay. It's still going to be okay. And I'll give you guys another example, the prime example, Jesus' example. Remember, what did Jesus say? I taught on that a long time ago. What did Jesus say? He said, Lord, I pray that if it is all possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is all possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, not my will, your will. That's faith in God's sovereignty, guys, that he has a greater plan for us. That even if he doesn't deliver us, to keep us, in other words, from that hard time, and then we do go through that hard time, if he allows us to go through that hard time, we need to have faith that even though we're going through that hard time, God's still going to deliver us. We need to have that confidence, guys, and that faith in God's sovereignty. In Philippians 1:20 through 21, it says, but with all boldness, as always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says this, guys. If we remain faithful to God, guys, even in the darkest times, God will deliver us. He will bless you. If you guys remain faithful, he will bless you through that. Even if you go through these things, guys, even if God doesn't protect you from them and shield you from them, sometimes he'll allow you to go through these things like a brother dying. Or like whatever. My parents also got divorced. He allows me to go through these things as a test of my faith, to go through that. And we need to say, Lord, even though I'm going through this, please save me from this, first of all. But if not, we need to know that he will still deliver us from that trial, guys. Because sometimes he delivers us from it, sometimes he allows us to go through it. Maybe some of you guys are going through some hard times like right now, like I told you guys, to think about one thing. Maybe you're going through a family member dying, or parents getting divorced, or whatever the situation is. You guys know what you're going through, and God knows what you're going through, but you need to have those three resources of faith. You need to have our 3 points that we talked about, being a good soldier of Christ, and persevering through that valley, and remaining faithful to God. You guys need to have those. I told you guys, I have another story real quick, and I'll close with this story. Recently, what happened to me is I had my grandma. She was sent to the hospital, and this was a week before we went on the peak. A week before we went on the peak, my grandma was sent to the hospital. And just to give you a little background information, 11 years ago, she had a triple bypass. She was only 52. And in horrible health, she had diabetes, and she had a triple bypass, meaning they had to unclog arteries inside her heart. And she was in bad health then, and she was a high-risk patient then. Nobody wanted to operate on her. They had to finally find someone, and they did, and she died on the table 3 times, and they brought her back. Okay? So she was fine. 11 years later, present, She goes to the hospital again, finding out that she has two clogged arteries here in her throat, and two arteries called your carotid. Or I don't know if it's called, the arteries are called your carotid, but it's in your carotid. And she has two clogged arteries. So after just her being in the hospital for that whole week, and we don't know what's going to happen, the doctors are debating whether or not they want to do surgery or not. Because they said if they do surgery, she won't survive it. Her diabetes is too out of control and she's too overweight. So I prayed, Lord, oh my gosh, I don't want my grandma dying. I've never had a grandma die before, and I'm super close with my grandma. So this was testing my faith. And I was like, Lord, please don't let my grandma die. Please allow her more life to live. But I had to pray that, Lord, if not, if you take her away, I know she's saved. I know that she will be in heaven. Even if she dies, I know she'll be okay. Lord, I know you will be okay because I have that to look forward to, guys. So we know, guys, that God will help us through these things. If we have faith in God, he will bring us out of these things. We need to say, but if not, Christ, it'll still be okay. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, guys. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Let me just flip there real quick. It says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says he boasts in his infirmities. He is happy that he goes through these things, guys, because he suffers. Christ gets all the glory. Not us. Christ gets all the glory. And we give God and we boast in these things that we go through because we trust in him. Remain faithful, guys. Like it says in verse 13, 2 Timothy, guys, if we are faithless, he still remains faithful. So know you guys going through these tough times, even if we're faithless, we're not having faith in God, he remains faithful. Remember that, guys. Think about that. God still remains faithful. So endure hardships, guys, for Christ's sake. Because remember, if we endure hardships for Christ's sake, remember that he suffered first because of it and for us. Let's close the prayer. Father God, I just pray that I thank you for this message, Lord. I thank you that you've shown us how to be faithful and equipped us, shown us how to equip ourselves to remain faithful in these dark times, Father God, and to run through that valley, persevere through that valley, Father God. I pray that we remain faithful in whatever hard times we're going through, Father God. I know a lot of us are probably going through hard times right now or haven't gone through hard times right yet, Lord, but probably have gone through hard times. But I just pray, Father God, that you continually be with us, Father God, like your word says, Lord. You're constantly with us, Father God. You give us strength and you give us comfort, Lord. You are a shelter for the oppressed, Father God. And we thank you for that, for being able to run to you, Father God. Because you give us rest, Father God. Help us remain faithful, God, Father God, and to have faith in your sovereignty, Lord. That you know that to know that you work all things for good, Father God. I just pray that you instill that in our hearts this morning, Father God. And you protect us as we go our separate ways today, Father God. And that you just help us keep what we learned today in our hearts, Father God. And help us to think about that throughout our week, Lord Jesus. Keep us safe, and we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.